News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And welcome back to the WKOK Sunrise program. Mr. Matt Catrillo's over in the newsroom. He says Front Street's inordinately slow in Sunbury. Northumberland traffic's okay in the southbound lane, but the northbound lane of 11, all these people trying to get to Orange Street, that's coming up Water Street, we are told. Orange Street's slow, and so that the light just not long enough to let enough people out there. We almost need some traffic direction there. Danville's fine in town, but Route 54 east Eastbound and Sunbury Road have very long delays trying to get into Riverside. So that's your traffic update. Eric Rao is with us. He's from Sealance Grove. He's a longtime employee of Wood Mode, and we're going to talk about the history and legacy of the company. Nothing to do with what happened last week. That's off the table. We did talk about that yesterday. Today we're going to talk about what was a really significant contributor to the valley around here. You worked at Wood Mode for 45 years. How did you start there?
Well, that was part of the legacy, too. My father had been hired, I think, probably about 1963, and he had worked there as the credit manager. And during my high school career, I worked part-time over at our family grocery store, Sheets. And after high school, knowing I didn't want to go to college, I needed a job. And in the good old days, Dad said, well, you know, just show up and see Jeff at 7 o'clock on Monday morning. And this was a week out of high school. And I never looked back for 45 years.
And tell me, what kind of company was Wood Mode? I think I know this answer, and we know what happened last week. But up to Monday last week, describe this company.
Well, the company was very family-oriented. Everything that we did, anybody that became involved in the company, whether it was dealers or reps, or whether we wrote an article in the newsletter that somebody came in and toward the facility or became involved with us in some way, was always enveloped in what we referred to as the Wood Mode family. You know, welcome them to the Wood Mode family. It was family, and, you know, second, third, I think maybe even fourth generations towards the end. And we all grew up together, you know, going to the Wood Mode picnic as a child in the 60s, competing against, you know, in the kids' games, competing against people then that started. And we all grew up together. And there's people that see me out in public that they would say, I know you. You're that picnic guy, you know, the guy that gave the tickets away and stuff.
Yeah, when you retired, you were the employee communications.
I was the employee communication and services manager, which basically meant I did a lot of what nobody else wanted to do, but my primary job was entry-level hiring. So I started that in the late 90s. So probably the large majority of the people, you know, that were affected by what occurred on Monday, I was probably involved directly in hiring there or hiring them in some way or another. So I pretty much knew everybody, maybe not the names, but I certainly knew all the faces.
And what was your reaction? Now, you retired at the end of 2017, so you've been out of the company for about 15 months, 16 months or so. But your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction was disappointment. There was rumors and talk throughout the community for a couple of years. But we anticipated that something would occur, you know, the company would be sold, or, you know, they would manage some, they've always had managed to keep the company solvent and to keep it moving. And I think everybody just, you know, assumed that that would occur and the company would move on and everybody's jobs would be safe and everybody would be able to retire, you know, similar to like I did and hundreds of other people did.
What set Wood Mode apart in terms of what they would do with wood and for cabinet customers?
Well, what set Wood Mode apart was our ability to customize or to meet every customer's expectations, regardless what it was, whether it was finish, whether it was in the cabinet construction. You know, if you wanted it built and you wanted it finished a certain way, we would make every effort to meet that.
And high quality?
And high quality, yes.
And was everything custom that was made there?
Well, there were no two orders that were, you know, we had our stock sizes, our stock finishes, But every order was made specific to that customer. So if you would walk down the production lines, you would never see two, you know, the hardware line or the assembly line, you would never see two cabinets in a row that were the same.
And the company evolved over the years. Sometimes Wood Metal Industries, I believe, was one of their legacy names.
Yeah, the company was originally found in 1942 by five families. And eventually then the other families left or were bought out, which led to the Grumlins, leading the company, I think, exclusively since 1998, maybe.
Tell me about this family. So they at sometimes the at some point the Grumlins are in charge. How do I want to word this? Okay, I'm burdened with, I think small, all right? I think, you know, whatever I have now is probably okay, just maintain it. The Grumlins thought big. You know, they knew how to make things, they thought that things could be bigger, and they made it happen. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, they had made some really good decisions throughout the years. In the early days, all we had was basically wood construction. And then the Europeans came over with their frameless construction, and we added that to the market. And then, because we were fully custom with the wood mode line, it gave us a price point that was somewhat uncompetitive in different parts of the market. So at that point in time, then, we added what we referred to as the Brookhaven line. And then there we also had the frame and frameless.
And that would be less expensive.
Less expensive. Different price point in the market. When I would give a tour, talk to anybody, I'd say it's, you know, you walk into maybe a GM dealer. You know, they've got the Cadillacs and the Corvettes, you know, on the showroom floor. But, let's talk a little, you know, we can't afford that. But let's talk Chevy, maybe Buick or
Ford
whatever.
Ford Taurus.
Yeah. Well.
Work, not quite that low.
No. Well, you know, at the time, Taurus was a nice car.
Okay. Bad analogy, anyway. Okay, well, plus we're blending car companies, too, so it's hard to draw a line of them. Okay, so you have, the company is evolving and changing. This evolution is taking place throughout the whole 90 years.
Yes. Yeah. It just, you know, they saw what was coming, and we were able to adapt to the market as it evolved. And, you know, we sold nationally to to wood mode dealers, you know, and they would see what was happening in the market and bring that to us, and then we would try to adapt our product, you know, to what they said would sell.
All right. You're not an expert in the global cabinet market, but do you ever look back and say, I'll bet if we had done X, or if, you know, if we had all of our, if you could buy our cabinets at Kohl's Hardware or something, did you ever look back that way?
No, you know, Mark, that part of the business was so far removed, you know, from what I did, and I just wasn't involved in any of that. I was just more concerned on the day-to-day, you know, the needs of the employees, You know, I may have thought about it, but I certainly was not in any position and didn't know enough to even affect any decision.
You didn't
like
pay
that.
Attention to the cabinet industry and venture capitalism and all that sort of thing. And folks in our area, let's see, if you were involved in the Chamber of Commerce, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Greater Susquehanna Valley United Way, the local YMCA, you see where I'm headed here. Mm-hmm. We are talking about what over the decades has been one of the single most generous families, companies, and set of employees.
Yeah, being involved in the United Way as deeply as I am, when the company was staffed at its highest, which was before the economy went south in 2008, with the company contribution and the employee contribution, we had contributed over $90,000. But you can go, you know, to Evan. There's rooms and wings dedicated, you know, to Woodmode through the Grumlin family. The employees are always generous. If there was ever an employee in need, you know, they had an illness or a fire or anything like that, because we were such a family, you know, the employees were always ready to step up, you know, and take care of one another, regardless awareness of the need. So it's throughout the community, but it was also very much that type of atmosphere inside the company.
We often have a show, we always have a show on Sunday on the radio called Legends of Success, and there's a through line through this. It's typically individuals and or companies that have had some struggles along the way, but are successful and are generous. That's the bigger and the more successful individuals or companies become, the more generous they become in terms of what's profiled on this show. The Wood Mode would qualify for this. The bigger they got, the more generous they got.
I wasn't involved in a lot of the larger decisions or whatever, but anybody that would ask for a Chinese, at my level, anybody would ask for a Chinese auction or anything, we would make every effort to accommodate anybody in the community. And that's the way, it was with the Grumlins. They very philanthropic, very generous. And employees, a lot of the decisions that were made, were based upon the employees.
All right. And finally, as much as you can, you reflect on your 45 years.
Well, I was very fortunate to have only ever having to drive from Sealands Grove to Cramer for 45 years, never had to go to Harrisburg, never had to fight the Danville, Northumberland traffic. And I was able to move within the company. I started out in the floor. And through time was able to be in a position where I was able to, get into the office and work my way up to where I ended up. It was a great career. I had a lot of autonomy, in my later position, that if I needed to go to United Way meetings or even when I was on the school board, if there's something that came up. Granted a lot of autonomy to bring schools in, tours, United Way, whatever. I was very fortunate, and it was a great career for me and a lot of other people that made it through.
Well, this past winter, I missed talking to you at 5 in the morning with any shift changes because of snow. Sometimes the third shift or second shift or first shift will be changed because of snow. So you would be the person that would contact us.
Yeah, after I retired, I didn't have those 2 or 3 in the morning phone calls and then emails and stuff like that.
You missed that. Anything you'd like to say that I didn't ask you?
I don't know. I think the outpouring, I am really impressed with the outpouring of the community, especially with what took place out of Susquehanna University. The outpouring of the community through the United Way, but other people, just the care and the people have looked at Wood Mode and said, we need to do something, we need to step up, we need to take care of these people, because Wood Mode, in a sense, has taken care of a lot, large part of the community as well. And I was impressed. I actually had to go out to the university to stop in at the radio station. And I went out there, and I couldn't find a parking place. And it had sort of slipped my mind what was going on. But then as I walked on campus, I saw some of our former employees, and I got to talk to them. And I realized and how impressed I was, with what's going on to help these people. It's Wood Mode, but it's the greater Susquehanna Valley. It's a great place to live, and we certainly care about the quality of life here.
Eric Rao, thank you so much for your reflections.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity.